on these Sundays where we preach at Black Creek and then, you know, or preach here and then Black Creek and then back here again. It's a pretty tiring, long day, but I thank God that he's got me where he's got me. I enjoy what I do. I wouldn't trade it for the world. And I'm just thankful that he would see somebody fit to use somebody like me. I don't deserve it, but I thank him for it. If you would, please turn with me to Amos. It's a minor prophet back in the Old Testament. We're going to go to Amos 6. And this is something that caught my eye the other day when I was sitting down reading. And I said, you know, I'm gonna bring this to the people. I think they'll like it. And it was pretty good. And it's just a little statement. But that little statement, I believe, has got a lot of power behind it. So if you would, turn with me to Amos 6. And we're going to... I got to get my glasses on. Let me get there myself. 11:48. All right, here we go. Amos. You think I would already had it, but I don't. Amos 6, starting in verse 6. It says, the drink wine in bowl, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments. But here's the verse that I want to preach on. But they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. And if you know the story of Joseph, you go back, and that's what I want to hit. What did Joseph go through? Now, we're talking about hundreds of years later that Amos is bringing this up. Israel's going to find themselves in trouble again, and they're going to find themselves, you know, Joseph went through a lot of things to have his brothers set free. He went through a lot of sufferings. And here he's saying, you know, you forgot all about what brother Joseph went through to set Israel free, to set the Jewish people free, to save their life. He says they're not even grieving for that anymore. They've totally lost touch with the whole entire thing. It doesn't even cross their minds anymore that's what's going on. And he says here that it says, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. What does not grieved of the affliction of Joseph mean? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis 37. We're going to get into some Joseph here, and we're going to see some things that he went through. And I believe there's a message in here about Christians and the things they go through to maybe help others, to be out there. And what would you go through? You know, your people. What's her name there? The Vietnam. What's her name? Tina. You guys, the missionary to Vietnam, you heard her story. She was going to Syracuse University. She was a partier, so on and so forth. Had her own house, had her own car and everything else. She got saved one night, and she went out. She sold her car. She sold her house. And without any kind of missionary board, she just left to go back to Vietnam. And we were like, well, why would you do that? She said, for my people. She went back for her people. That's how much God laid a burden on her heart for her people. And I just think that we need to get back to that in America. We need to get back to our people, man. And so anyway, Genesis 37 verse 2 says, and these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Right away, we see in verse 2 that Joseph was an honest person. Right away, we see that if he seen something wrong, he was going to go and report it. He would not lie. And that made him an enemy to his brothers. You see, right away, he went and seen something wrong, and he brought that evil report back to his father. And so that's an affliction that Joseph had to suffer, is because he had to stand away for what his brothers done. He had to stand away. They would do little things and cut corners and so on. And you know, he said, I'm not doing that. I'm going to do it exactly the way it was supposed to. And that right there became an affliction for him, because he wouldn't walk the way other people would walk. Like I said, I went and seen Lou Godano, the pastor from Old Time Baptist, the other day. And he said, Dale, don't worry about what other people are doing. You do what God sent you to do. And that's what Joseph did. He wasn't worried about what everybody else did. He was going to do what God sent him to do. And so that separated him. And I'll just tell you, as a Christian, that will separate you in your Christian walk. That will separate you from people.
It will separate you from your family. It will separate you from the brethren. Because when you don't stand with them and not stand with their foolishness, you are going to be hated by them. That's part of the affliction of living a Christian life. And we live that on a daily basis. If you're living for Jesus Christ, you're going to suffer for him. He says that. That's what he says in the Bible. I'm going to suffer for that. And so here we see that's what happened to Joseph right away. Genesis 37, 3 and 4 says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved them more than all the brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." Another affliction was Joseph's daddy. He was daddy's favorite. And his brothers hated him for it. And I'm sure he suffered so because they would not talk to him or want to be around him. They shunned him. He was shunned by his own brothers. Imagine the loneliness as a young child where your brothers are taken and they're shunning you because they think you're daddy's favorite. And they know that. And so therefore they're going to shun you. And you know, that kind of gives you a picture of the Christian life for somebody who's walking. I don't believe God has a favorite for anybody. But his favorite would be somebody who's walking with Jesus Christ, who's walking and doing that right thing. They might get a few more little blessings here and there. And you know what that does? That creates anger in people. It creates a jealousy. And that's what's happened here in Joseph's life. It was an affliction that he had to suffer because his daddy loved him more than the others. And they hated him for it. They said they wouldn't even talk to him peacefully. Is that what they just said? So all the time he's getting picked on. I'm sure they're throwing stuff at him, beating him up, hitting him in the back of the head, doing all that kind of stuff. Why? That was an affliction that he was going to suffer. I'm just saying, I'm painting a picture here. God's got a purpose for this whole thing. There's something to this thing. We're going to go along here. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Genesis 30. So now remember, we're looking at Amos 6, verse 6. We're looking at the affliction of Joseph. Genesis 37. Verses 5 through 8. "And Joseph dreamed the dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more." Just when you think you hate somebody, believe it or not, you can hate them even the more. You can despise them even more. The Bible tells you that that's what can happen. Okay? I'm just going to jump ahead here for one quick second. They hated his brother, which means they would have no problem killing him. But here we're seeing that they hated him even more. So now it's going to jump to something even more violent, and that's called slaying. There are two different words in your Bible, and I'm going to explain that later. But because of that hatred, no longer do they want to kill him, but they want to slay him. That's a more violent intent, and I'm going to show you that here in a minute. It says they hated him even more. And it says here, verse 6, "And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we're binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obstinence to that sheaf." That means it was like he was standing there, and they're bowing to him, making obstinence to him. That's what he's saying is happening. And it says here that, "Behold, he stood around and made obstinence to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." Joseph did what was right in the sight of God and his father. And by doing so, God gave him dreams and talked with him and showed him many things to come. The brethren didn't want to hear what was going to come. How many times do you go out there and warn people and warn people and warn people and they don't want to hear what's going to come? How many times? Carrie, you've been in the ministry, around the ministry long enough. How many times do you go and try to warn people? And over again, they don't want to hear it. What happens? They just don't like it. They don't want to hear it. But it's the truth. And so Joseph just told them the truth. He didn't go and try to think and make a play of words or anything. He just came right out and told them. He was very blunt with what he had to say. If people will get more blunt with what they have to say and stop cutting corners and playing hide and seek and all that stuff, I believe we can get more accomplished. But that's not how people work today. Joseph just came right out and said it. And he had no problems with it, but his brothers hated him even more for it. And here it says Genesis 37:11, "And his brethren envied him, but his father observed this saying." You see that? They started getting envy. And why is God giving him things and not me? You know, there's a lot of Christian brothers around like that, Carrie, around this area. Who they'll see a man prosper in his ministry and they'll envy that. And it makes them mad. I'm talking about Christian men against Christian men. Or even to the point where they won't even talk to each other or anything. And so here it says that they envied him. And then what's it say what his father did? He observed the same. He said, wait a minute. If this is from God, I better watch. I better pay attention to this thing. And he observed that saying. That's what his father said. He said, I got to watch. He's going to figure it out. He understood. This verse says that his father took notice and watched. Because he's seen this was from God moving in Joseph's life. But this, I believe, provoked jealousy in his brothers and even more hatred. Here's what this is what it does. Proverbs 6, verse 34 says, for jealousy is the rage of man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. This was an affliction Joseph suffered for doing that which was right in the sight of God and the sight of man. He was doing that which was right of God and his man, and it provoked jealousy. And what did it just say there? About jealousy. It's the rage of man. It's burning inside this person. It makes him so furious. And it says, and that person, in the day of vengeance will not spare. That means that person is going to do whatever hurt they want to you. They don't have a problem killing you. They don't have a problem cussing you out, throwing things at you, whatever. They are just planning things in their head because of that jealousy. And they will not spare in the day of vengeance. When they finally unleash, they're going to unleash. And they're not going to spare. They're not going to stop. Nothing's going to stop them. That's what jealousy does to a man. And then his brothers were so jealous over him because here's God giving him these things. Here he is living right. Here he is having being daddy's favorite, and they hate him for it. They're hating him for it. But you see, God has to come around. What's he do? He has to choose those people that he can trust with his word, that he can trust to follow and do those things that he would do. And it makes people angry. It makes them jealous. They envy him. It makes them furious. And we see that picture of that with their brothers. God is trying to separate Joseph out of them. He's trying to pull him out of it. And Joseph's got to go through some pretty hard things to get there. Here it says in Proverbs 6:34, says, jealousy is the rage of man. Joseph was about to see this verse come true in his own life. Genesis 37:18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to what? Slay him. They weren't going to kill him. Why weren't they going to kill him? Because that envy, that hatred, and that jealousy was in him. Now it was beyond killing. Now they were going to slay him. It was going to be a violent, violent death. It was going to be a cruel death because of all that hatred and bitterness that's inside them now. That's what they wanted to do. This is their own blood. This is their own brother that they're conspiring against. And they just watched him coming from afar off. And they had all that built up inside of them. And I put down here, slay and kill are different in your King James Bible. Kill means to rid somebody of their life. For example, you may shoot somebody or you may stab somebody and they might die. It's not really all intentional. You could just shoot somebody to defend yourself or whatever and they may die. That's killing somebody. Okay, that's in the court of law, that's the difference. And then you have the word slay. Here's the difference between slay. Slay has a violent intent by it. Instead of just shooting that person one time, you're going to shoot them 10 or 15 times. But not only that, but you might shoot them in the heart or the face because you're so violent and so angry at them, you want to hurt their very being. You want to hurt their face. You want to hurt every ounce of them. So what do? You degrade them by shooting them in their face over and over again or stabbing them 50 or 60 times. You see the difference between slay and kill? And so this is what they wanted to do to their brother. This is the murder that they've had in their heart. This is what the murder that they put the devil put in their heart towards their brother. Their very own brother. And I'm just going to tell you now, these are the Jewish people, God's chosen people. And if they're not immune to it, you better believe we're not immune to it. We better watch how we cross our paths with our brothers. We better watch how we're flapping our gums towards each other. I'm just telling you now, it's a dangerous, dangerous place. Jesus Christ gives a warning of that. He says, those who are doing that are in danger of hellfire. That's what it says. And we're seeing that very thing. We're seeing this go on right here in Joseph's life. He says here that, so we see the affliction.
Because of hate and jealousy of his brothers, they want to slay Joseph, not just kill him. They want his death to be violent and they want it to be cruel. Genesis 37 verse 20 says, "Come now therefore and let us slay him." That's the second time they say it. "And cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams." You see that word devour? Remember what I said? It says, be sober, be vigilant. Your devil, the adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. That word devour means to totally annihilate. That's what they want to do to their brother. They want to totally annihilate him so that he can't even be recognized by his father. They want to annihilate. And they said, "Let's see what becomes of his dreams now." That's what they want. Because of what he told them, they want to devour him. They want to slay him so that they think his dreams can't come true. So some evil beast hath devoured him. I mean, when you sit there and you look at a beast, and when it devours somebody, I mean, it tears them up, man. You know, lion attacks and all. But that's what they want to do to their brother. That's a violent, violent death. And that's what they want. That's why they say we're going to slay him and not kill him, because it's a very violent death. The devil wants to do the same to us. He wants us to die a spiritual death. He would do anything. He would do anything to throw a widget in between you and him, or between you and God. Anything. I mean, he'll use anything. He'll use your past. He'll use people. He'll use Christians. I mean, he'll use all this stuff to try to drive a wedge in between you and God. Why? Because he's walking around seeking whom he can devour. Who's the strong ones? Who's the weak ones? Who's really serious about this and who's not serious about it? Going to separate it. Joseph's being separated from his brothers right now. Why didn't God choose any of the other ones? He didn't choose any of his other brothers, but he's separating Joseph. Why? There's something special there. And we're going to see that. Genesis 37, 23 through 28. "And it came to pass when Joseph was come into his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him." That's the one his father gave him. Remember, his father dressed him in a coat of many colors? They took that from him. They took it right off of him. 24, "And they took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread and lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? What good is it going to do for us to slay him and try to get rid of his blood? Now they're going to sell their brother for money. He says, come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by the Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt." Excuse me. So here we see, they went and they threw him in the pit, stripped the coat off him, because they were going to devour him. Remember, they're going to go in there and they're going to rip him up like a beast would. And they said, you know what? No, let's not do that. Let's sell him. Did they sell Jesus Christ for silver? You see? But God's got a plan here. It's not over with. It looks pretty bleak. Now he's getting ready to be down to Egypt. He's never been to Egypt before. He's in a pit all messed up. Now here come these guys. They pull him out. They said, hey, your brother sold us, you to us. Now you're ours. So we see here, it says, here it is. So we see that this is only the beginning of Joseph's afflictions. We've only gotten through one chapter, and we're already seeing how much he's gone through already. But God has a plan behind this. Now Joseph is in Egypt. All seems to be going well. He's a very important position, and the devil hates it, and he tries to take it from him. He has suffered affliction from his family, and now the devil in this world will make him suffer. Go with me to Genesis 39, verses 1 through 9. I'll show you what this world is going to do to him now. He's already suffered from his family, and now the world and the devil is going to attack him. Genesis 39, verses 1 through 9, I think I just said. Something like that. Okay, here we go. And Joseph brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh. Did I turn the wrong page? Oh. Excuse me a second here. Okay, that's what I want. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard in Egypt, brought him in the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hands. We see that he's in Egypt, he's in Potiphar's house, he's been sold, but here's Potiphar looking and going, man, the Lord's with that guy. How did he see it? He's an Egyptian. Something special must have been going on with Joseph for this guy to be able to point that out. You know why most people aren't in churches? Because they don't see the Lord in us. They see us. They don't even see the Lord. That's not what they're saying about Joseph. They're saying here, they see the Lord. Oh, we see the Lord's prospering this man. That's what it said. In verse 4, it said, Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, and he made him an overseer of his house and all that he had put his hands unto. Boy, the devil hated him having this power. And it came to pass, verse 5, from that time that he had made him overseer of the house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he knew aught, not aught he had, save the bread that he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person. So this guy has all this stuff, but he doesn't even know what he has. Why? Because Joseph's taking care of it. And he's doing such a good job. And then the Lord's blessing because of Joseph. This guy don't even know how much stuff he has. He's just enjoying it. He knows, hey, I'm eating, man. I'm good. Thank God for Joseph, he said. Verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast his eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wrought not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all things, all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against, did it say Potiphar? He didn't say he was going to sin against Potiphar. He said he was going to sin against God. People have the misconception that they're doing, hey, you may do me wrong or you may do somebody wrong, but you're not sinning against that person. You're only sinning against God. That's who you're guilty before. You're not guilty before Doug. You're not guilty before Carrie. You're not guilty before me. You're guilty before God by the things you do, not me. You don't sin against me. I'm not God. You sin against God. That's what it says here. He said, I'm not doing that thing. He didn't say it because he didn't want to do that thing against Potiphar. He said, I'm not doing it because I'm not sinning against God. I'm not sinning against God. And here it says, man, I keep losing. Oh, okay. 39:9 says, there is no greater in this house than I, and he hath kept him nothing back from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? But again, Joseph would suffer affliction for doing what is right in the sight of God. He's going to suffer. He's going to suffer because he says, no, I'm not doing this thing, and I'm not going to go out there, and I'm not going to fall into this trap. He's going to do the right thing. He's going to do it in the sight of God because he knows if he does it, he's sinning against God, but he refuses to do so, and guess what he does for that? He suffers. How much affliction are you suffering for not doing what the wickedness of this world is doing? How much? I know I suffer a lot. I go through it all the time. Why? Because I'm not falling for their stuff. I'm not going to go ahead and put myself out there and sin against God. I don't want that stuff. I want to be who I am, where I am, walking with who I'm walking with. I want to be like Joseph. I know that when I do wrong or sin, that I'm sinning against God. And I don't want to be that. I want to be separated. I don't mind suffering the affliction. I don't mind suffering persecution. Why? Because I'm doing it for Jesus Christ's sake. Listen, when people reject us, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus Christ. They're not rejecting me. I work with a lot of people out there. But hey, when people reject, they're not rejecting me. They're rejecting Jesus Christ. It ain't me you're rejecting. I'm all right. I'm good. And Joseph understood that. He totally understood what was going to happen. He said, I'm not falling for it. I'm not falling for it. And so he goes on and he says, Genesis 39:12, so she caught his garment saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out. You know, that's this right here passage, verse of scripture, is one of the reasons why I would never, Never be alone with a woman in a car or a house without a witness. Ever. Ever. Because you just never know what people would do to get to you. You think I'm just man, I'm just telling you. Not me. Don't put me in that position. I ain't doing it. And he got away as quick as he could, and he did not stay around or fall for the ploy of the devil. And in doing so, he was set up and blamed for doing something that he did not. The devil wanted to devour him. What a good way to devour him. How? To set him up saying, he tried to sleep with me. He had this woman trying to put that blame on him, and he did nothing. But he suffered and afflicts you for it. You will suffer for doing the right thing. You will suffer for doing good. Point blank. That's just how it is. But Joseph knew the Lord was with him. He knew what he did was the right thing and trusted God to take care of this and used it for his glory. Genesis 39, 19 through 23 says, "And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife." You see that? He heard the words of his wife. He believed his wife. "Which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did the servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's masters took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed Joseph's hand to all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was a doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and he that which he did, and the Lord made him prosper." You see that? Even in prison, the guard saying, "Hey man, go ahead, you take care of everything. God's with you, man. You ain't gonna do nothing wrong. You go ahead and take control of this whole prison. You're in control of all the prisoners." God said him, I said he showed mercy unto him. Even in prison, he was showing mercy unto Joseph. I mean, look at where Joseph come from. He's just a little 17-year-old boy, and look where he's going all this way. And now he's in prison for something he didn't do. He's suffering for doing good. He's suffering affliction. And, you know, in the end, I should be able to get to the end, but he's suffering all this. Why? Don't you see God's moving him into a position? God's putting him in a place where he needs to. But he had to separate him from where? He had to separate him from his family. He had to separate him from this world. He had to separate him from all these things. And there's different steps that God's doing to bring Joseph from one place to where he can use him. That's the whole point of this whole thing. It says here, I just read that to you. It says, in Genesis 40, we see Joseph is in prison. And even while he was there, God used him to help others and witness for God. I believe God kept Joseph in prison, not just to help people, but to protect Joseph for what was about to happen. He kept him in there. He gave all this stuff. He put him in charge of all this. He showed mercy. I'm sure he had the best of the beds. He ate well and all that. But I believe God kept him in that prison to protect him from the people who are trying to destroy him. So he kept him. Kept him in there safely. And it says here that God removed Joseph from Potiphar's house to a place where he would be called by Pharaoh. You want to see that? He took him from Potiphar's house, put him in prison where he just lived a good life. Why did he take him out of Potiphar's house? Because now Pharaoh needs to reach him. Now he's got to get to Pharaoh. And in order for him to get to Pharaoh, he had to be removed. He had to be removed. He had to go to prison. He had to be what? God's put a protection around Joseph. Now he's protected. There's nothing going to happen to him there. He's fine. Nobody can get to him. Okay? And it says here, God had to test Joseph to see if he would trust him so that he could put him where he needed him and where he could be used for God's purpose. Because of what happened, now Joseph's in prison for 2 years at this point. We're going to jump ahead 2 years. Now he's been in for 2 years. He's at 2 years in prison, and when Joseph helped the chief butler, if you go back and remember, the butler and the baker had dreams. And nobody was able to interpret it. Joseph said, I can interpret those dreams. And he told him what was going to happen. So now he told the chief butler, hey, don't forget me when you get back up there. Because the baker got hung, the chief butler went back to work. He said, don't forget me when you go up there 2 years later. He still forgot Joseph. That wasn't by accident. God was protecting Joseph. He was keeping him there. So now he's there for 2 years. And it says, he helped the chief butler, and when Pharaoh had a dream and no one could help him interpret it, the chief butler then remembered Joseph in Genesis 41.
41 verse 12 says, And there was a young man, a Hebrew, servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted of our dreams. Each man, according to his dream, he did interpret. And guess what happens? And Pharaoh called Joseph to help him. Genesis 41:14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph and brought him hastily out of the dungeon and shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. God, through Joseph's afflictions, was once again moving in his life to put Joseph in a place that he could be used for God. God has a purpose and a plan all along for Joseph's life, and he had to go through these afflictions to be used of God. And I'm going to show you why. Isaiah, please turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah 48. I want to show you. There's a purpose. There's a reason why Joseph's going through this. Actually, there's a couple of them, but I'm going to show you one of them. Joseph had to go through these things. Isaiah 48. We're going to start in verse 10. Isaiah 48, 10 and 11. And he says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction for mine own sake." God's doing this for Joseph, for his sake. "Even for mine own sake will I do it. For how shall my name be polluted? And I will not give glory to another." You see, God had to put him through this. Why? Because he's not, listen to me, he's going to refine it for his own sake. For his purpose does God put us through these afflictions. I don't go through things just for the heck of it. God puts me through afflictions for a reason. There's a reason why I go through things. And it's for God's purpose, the reason why I go through those things. That's how we learn. We learn. How do my children learn not to jump off a bike while it's moving at 15 miles an hour? They'll suffer an affliction, falling and scraping their knee. Well, how else would they have learned that, not to do that? You see, we have to go through those things. And so Joseph is going through all these things. Why? Because God says in Isaiah 48:10, "I'm not putting you through the stuff like silver, but I'm going to put you in the furnace of affliction. You're going to be afflicted." Oh, I'm telling you, when that affliction comes, it's rough. It's rough being afflicted. It hurts, man. It's painful. It's depressing. It's hard. But there's a purpose. When I come out the other side, I know that I'm going to be exactly what he wants me to do and be exactly where he wants me to be. And that's what he's doing with Joseph. Go look from where we started. He started out at home being an honest person. And now he's in prison. Now he's being called out of prison for a purpose. And he's going through all these afflictions. And he says Joseph was being refined in affliction for God's will and purpose. Genesis 41, Joseph tells Pharaoh his dream about what God is going to do. 41:25. Genesis 41:25. I'll read that. Genesis 41:25. I'm going to read that real quick. And it says, "And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God had showed Pharaoh what he is to do and what he is about to do about it." Genesis 41:32-36 talks about the famine. There's going to be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of good food, 7 years that everything should be stored up, and 7 years of drought will come upon the land except for Egypt. And Joseph is to set up second in command only under Pharaoh to rule the land and to do what God has shown Pharaoh and Joseph what is to be done. And Joseph was prosperous in doing so because he trusted in the Lord. He understood Pharaoh's dream. He said, "Pharaoh, we're going to have 7 years of goodness. We got to store all this stuff up because afterwards it's going to be 7 years of famine. And then we're the only ones that's going to have anything. And the land's going to come to us. And guess who else is going to come to him? His family." His family. The very ones that kicked him into that pit, the very ones that tortured him and hated him, are now going to have to come to him for food. You see, God knows what he's doing. But listen, if you know anything about Joseph and his brothers and all, that's Israel. That's the Jewish people. They're going to be saved. And Amos, he's saying, don't you guys remember? You're not grieving for the affliction of Joseph. You don't remember what he went through so that you guys could be saved? That's why Amos is upset. All you're doing is out there partying. You don't care about nothing else. You're not even worrying about what Joseph went through so that you could be a free people. You're not grieving for the affliction of Joseph.
That's what he's saying. You've forgotten that. But let me go on. But why did Amos 6, did the Bible say they are grieved for the affliction of Joseph? Because the real reason for his entire affliction was for the purpose of God to save Israel from destruction. You read that, Amos 6, Israel's out there and they're messing up again. They're turning their back on God. They're worshiping all these different gods and so on and so forth. It says, so Joseph suffered the hatred of his brothers. He was thrown into a pit, sold, blamed for something that he didn't do, cast into prison, forgotten about, lied upon, and so much more, so that God could put him in a place to save his people. And in Amos, the children of Israel have forgotten the affliction of Joseph, so that they could not be saved and free, and have turned their back on the one and only true God, and has forgotten what God did for them. And because of this, God will once again lead them captive. Turn with me to Amos 6. I want to read verses 7 and 9. Because they have forgotten about what Joseph went through. They have forgotten about the affliction of Joseph. We're going to see what God's going to do to them. Amos 6, 7 and 9. It says, therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive. Here they go, going back into captivity. And the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. And the Lord God has sworn by himself, saith the Lord God of hosts, I abhor. That means he absolutely hates the excellency of Jacob. And I hate his palaces. Therefore I will deliver up the city with all that is therein. And it shall come to pass, if there remain 10 men in one house, that they shall die. He goes, I don't care if they all run and try to get into one house. He goes, if I find even 10 of them, I'm going to kill them. Because they have forgotten where they've come from. You ever getting that, caught up in that? I think we preached on that kind of this morning. Missing the miracle. Forgotten where God has brought you from to where you are today. Forgotten and turn your back where God has brought you from to where you are today. You're being like the children and you're ready to go back into captivity. You know the devil can take you captive at his will. That's what the Bible says. But it says unless one of your brothers come around and preach the Bible to you, you might find repentance. But you got to find repentance. You got to deliver yourself from that. You got to get yourself out of that mess. You get yourself into it, you got to get yourself out of it. And that's what he's saying here. And you know what? This is what the people did. They forgot the affliction of Joseph. How many of us are forgetting the affliction of Jesus Christ? Amen. How many have you forgotten about what he'd done for you? How many have forgotten about what he went on that cross for you for? You know, he suffered just like, it says here, it says, have we, like Israel, forgotten the affliction of Jesus so that we could be saved and free? Are we not willing to be afflicted so that others might be saved? Are we, like Joseph, willing to go through afflictions so that God can put us where he wants us for his purpose and his will? You know, it says that we're not of our own, that we're bought with the price. What price are we bought with? The blood of Jesus Christ. That's who we're bought. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. I thank God that I don't belong to myself anymore because I don't know how to run it. I can't do it right. I failed my whole entire life. For 40 years, that's all I did was fail. I thank God that I don't have to run it anymore. He gives me the directions and I got to follow it. That's what's got to happen. What a good life. I love my life. I don't have any complaints about my life whatsoever. There are hard times. There's good times. There's peace times. There's depressing times. I go through all the same stuff. But you know what the difference is? I have Jesus Christ to go through with me. That's why he says, come to me, all you labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Why? Because it's easy. It's light. He didn't say he's taking a yoke from us, Doug. He didn't say he's going to lighten that load for us a little bit. My load's been light 4 years ago. My load was really lightened when he forgave me of my sins, and I knew for a fact that it was never going to have to answer for those sins again. He took care of it for me. I'm just telling you, my conscience got cleaned up, my mind got cleaned up, my body got cleaned up, my mouth got cleaned up, and I'm so happy. I had a guy tell me, I remember Ed Munt? He said, you're just brainwashed. I said, good, I'm brainwashed, mouthwashed, body washed. I said, I'm glad to be washed. I wouldn't want to be you. Wouldn't want to be you. I wouldn't want that stuff back. What would I want it back from? For what? Job 33, 27 and 28, you know what it says? God's looking down to see if any will say, I have sinned. Many people will say, yeah, I've done wrong. And perverted all that which is right. And it profiteth me not.
What did my past life profit me? The hurting of my children? The hurting of my family? The being an alcoholic to ruining my body? That's what it profited me? Wasting all those years from the time that I was 14 all the way up until I was 32 when I finally got out of all that garbage? That's what I got? Now I have to sit in front of committees to go to college? Now I can't get a job. Thank God I have a job right now, but I just barely squeaked in there to have a job. That's what it profited me? That's what I want to go back to? You gotta be kidding me. I don't want to go back to it. And it wasn't worth it to me. Because let me tell you something. With all the stuff that I'm paying for now, with all the... Listen, it doesn't go away. It never, ever goes away. It's been how many years I've been out now? 2002, what is that? 15 years, something like that? They still bring my rap sheet up to me all the time, don't they? It never went away. I paid my dues. Did you? You don't ever pay your dues. You'll whatever. Listen, I'm just saying, it never goes away. It doesn't wash away and just disappear. When I got saved, my rap sheet didn't go away. But I don't, what do I want to go back to that for? What did it prosper me? What did it do for me? It did me no good. The only thing that it can do is maybe do somebody else good. Why? Because God says that he allows us to go through those things that we can help others. That's it. That's the only good. And that I didn't die in the midst of it. That I didn't die. That's just luck. I don't know how I'm alive today after the stuff that I've been through. I always tell my wife, I said, I don't even know how I'm alive. I mean, I know old mafioso guys. She knows who I'm talking about. I mean, straight up mafia, man, from the west side of Buffalo. I started running numbers for this guy when I was just a little boy. He looked at me and said, Dale, I never thought you'd make it past age 25. And here I'm in my 40s. This dude's a gang member. He's a old mafia guy. He watched me in my life. He just said, damn, I didn't think you would ever make it. Here I am, 44 years old. What kind of badge of honor do I have? You can have that badge of honor. I don't want it. That's what Jesus Christ suffered for me. He suffered the affliction of Dale Morey. He took me upon himself. So that I didn't have to take care of it myself. You know why? Because there was a debt I could never pay. And he paid that thing. That's why I'm so thankful. That's why I do what I do today. Because I can go to sleep at night. And guess what? When I go to sleep at night, I have a clear conscience, man. My conscience doesn't bother me a bit. Not one inkling. Not one iota. When I get up in the morning, I get to pray with my family. I get to kiss them goodbye. Ship them on their way. I go on my way. We work. We come back home. We pray together. That's what we have. I didn't never have that. For the first time in my life, I have a family. And I'm supposed to just, go back to what I used to be? It's not who I am anymore. That Dale Morey, you know what it says? It says that I was killed, buried, and raised again with Jesus Christ. He's dead, Doug. That dude's dead. He's dead. And I'm glad of it. Because I don't want it. And my prayer is that one day, them two sitting right there, we'll never have to go through it. Ever. But they may not want it. That's my prayer for a lot of people. You know what? We can't change people. We can't do it. And you know, when I first got into the ministry, Brother Carey, maybe you suffered through this. I don't know. But after I got saved, I thought, man, I can go out there and change the world, man. I can't change one person. I can't even help a person. Because it has to come from them. It can't come from me. Doug, I can't come and help unless you want it. I can't help anybody in this church unless they want. I can't. It's impossible for me to do it. It will never work. But you want to know something? It's painful. I get brokenhearted at night because people reject me for me wanting to help them. I'm already helped. I don't need the help. I'm good. But I get rejected because I want to help others. All the time. That hurts me. It breaks my heart.
But let me tell you, my heart was a rock. It was a rock. You know what the Bible says, though? He had to break that fallow ground up. And then it says he takes away that stony heart. Guess what it says? Brother, back me up. It says it gives you a fleshly heart. Doesn't it say that? It says it gives you a fleshly heart. Why? Because you start caring. You care about people. You care about what goes on. Joseph cared about what was going to happen with his brethren. He knew that if he went through these afflictions, he trusted God to bring him through it, and he knew at the end of this very thing that God was going to see him through, and he was able to rescue his family. Ain't that something? Are we willing to go through that for others? Is that what we want to... I mean, where's our family members? They're not in the pews. You see? We're afraid to talk to somebody? Afraid to hand the track out? That's what it comes down to. But like I said this morning, the Bible, or maybe this is 1 o'clock, it says that perfect love casteth out all fear. I wasn't afraid of a man before salvation. I sure ain't afraid of one now. But why aren't we got them filling the church pews? Because they don't believe. They don't care. They don't want it. That's it. I mean, that's all there is to it. There's no other explanation for it. That's all there is to it. And you know what? It's fine. You sit back and you just let it go. Let go. What else can you do? Pray? And I'm not bragging, but seriously, do I not pray? I got a whole prayer list front and back. I can't even fit it all on one piece of paper, and I pray that every single day. There's not a person in this room whose name's not on there. You don't believe me? I got it right here. Come check. I got nothing to hide. Why? Why do I do it? What's it benefiting me? It's because I care. That's the only reason why I do. I care. I take the time out of my day, out of my morning. I make sure that I get up early enough. Me. What I would much rather sleep because my body hurts and I'm hurting and in pain all the time. I'd rather just stay in bed and go to sleep. But you know what I don't do? I don't do that. I get up and I pray for people. Because I care. If I didn't care, I wouldn't do it. Does that make sense? Why else would I do it? I have a heart. I don't know how to show it all the time, you know? I'm a street guy, man. I don't know how to show a heart. I was raised in a family. We didn't show each other hearts. We didn't show each other love like that. So sometimes I have a hard time showing it, but it doesn't mean I don't care. Doesn't mean I don't care. And if anybody in this room ever thinks that I don't care, they got another thing coming. They just don't know me. They don't know me. They don't know anything about me, and they never will know anything about me. But Joseph wasn't afraid to go through those afflictions. The lesson we have to learn as Christians is we're going to suffer afflictions for Jesus' sake. Don't suffer for your own sake. Suffer for His sake, because the reward is much better. Carrie, could you pray for us, please, brother?
Our present heaven.